الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون، وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن. ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به، وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. وقال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. In any situation in life, whether a person is under the employment of an employer, or whether he is working by himself, but in order for a person to be successful in life, worldly wise, then there needs to be two components or two aspects with regards to which he always needs to be cognizant of. The first being that what is the role that I am supposed to be playing? And secondly, what is my objective? What is the goal that I am aiming for? What is my ambition? So if a person has taken up employment in a large factory, in a large company, and he just comes to work, but he does not know his portfolio, he does not know what work has been assigned to him, so he will just be passing his time without accomplishing anything. And secondly, if he does not know what his actual goal is, he might be doing that work, but why is he working? What does he want at the end of the day? Then too, he will not be motivated. He might be assigned certain tasks, but if he does not have a goal in mind, an ambition in mind, that what do I want to achieve from this work, then too, he will not be able to become successful. But when he understands his role and his portfolio, then he will know what he needs to do. And secondly, when he has an ambition, what he wants to achieve, then that will then motivate him to go forward and exert himself, use all his effort to achieve what he is ambitious of, what he is desirous of. So similarly, when it comes to a mu'min, to a believer needs to understand his role in life, his portfolio. That as a mu'min, as a believer, I am nothing but a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the duty and the responsibility of a slave? Then that also a person needs to understand. So once a person understands his portfolio and his role, then he will know what are his duties and what are his responsibilities. But then in order for him to fulfill these duties and these responsibilities as he ought to be doing, then he needs to have a goal and an ambition in mind, that by doing this, what do I desire, what do I want to achieve? And for this as well, the goal of a mu'min is none other than the akhirah, jannat, and acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in the Qur'an-i-Majeed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the purpose of the creation of man. That وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created man and jinn except liyabudun, for them to worship me. But then when we look at this word yabudun, so it comes from the word abd or ibadah. And abd means slave. And we are all but the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And servitude and slavery is the highest position that a person can reach in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person excels, then unlike in our norms, that when you will say that this person is the slave of so and so, then that is a means of degrading that person. But when it comes to being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself acknowledges that this is my slave, then this is a great accomplishment. This is an accolade for such an individual. For when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his journey of Mi'raj, then how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use the title of Rasulihi or Nabiyihi or Mahbubihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term abdi, highlighting the great position that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had achieved in his servitude and him exhibiting himself as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and even when speaking of himself, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had written letters to the various rulers, the emperors of the time, so how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commence those letters? Min abdillah Muhammad ibn abdillah. That from the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person understands that I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will want to find out what are the responsibilities of a slave, that how should a slave be behaving. And this, if a person understands the life of a slave, that a slave has no say of his own. A slave is under the entire jurisdiction, the control of his master. That once a person had purchased a slave, and then he asked the slave, that what is your name, what should I call you? So the slave replied and said, that whatever you choose for me. And then he went on asking him different questions, that what should I clothe you with, what clothes will you wear, or what food would you eat, and so forth. And each time the slave replied, that whatever you choose for me. So when the master heard this, that this was the continuous reply and the constant reply of the slave, so the master told that slave that Jazakallah, you have taught me what the true meaning of slavery is all about. That you hand over yourself and assign yourself entirely to your master. And that is what being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. That I assign all my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls my life entirely. That if He wants me to wake up at a certain time in the night or in the early parts of the morning, then I would do as He wants. If He wants me to stay away from certain things, then I will do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That I will not employ my own reasoning, my understanding, my intelligence against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it appeals to me or not. For this is the work and the duty of a slave. That if that master had to tell that slave on a rainy day that go out and cut the grass, the slave has no right to object and tell the master that can't you see it's raining? Why are you telling me to go and cut the grass? The master will reply and say that you have no right and authority to question my commands and my instructions. That you do as I command and I instruct. So likewise, when it comes to a mu'min who understands that I am none but the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whether the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeals to my reasoning or not, whether I am able to understand the wisdom behind that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. My duty is just to comply and accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we would have this proper understanding of us being the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would be highly impossible to even break a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For we would understand that my intelligence is extremely limited. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond my understanding, beyond what we can comprehend. So whatever seems to be difficult for me, there may be millions and billions of wisdoms behind that, though I may not be able to understand it. And when we look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then they had fully understood this as well, that whether it was something that was against their desire or not, but the moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave that command and gave that instruction, immediately they complied. That when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had been given the command and the instruction that now wine has been declared as forbidden. And if we understand the history of the Arabs at that time, then they were as if fish in water when it came to wine. That not a single dawat and a single meal would pass without them consuming wine. So they were very habitual drinkers of wine. But the moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed that declaration that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and instructed that wine is prohibited, that a single drop cannot be taken, immediately the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, without batting an eye, broke all those barrels of wine that they had. And the books of history explain that the streets of Medina Munawwara were flowing with wine, like how when rain falls and the water flows in the streets. So this was the condition of Medina Munawwara at the time, that immediately the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were ready to comply. Another Sahabi came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time and explained that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I have received a huge consignment of wine which I have sold. What is the condition of this wealth? And that was a huge consignment going into the millions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained that this wealth is not befitting for you, it is haram. Immediately, without a question, that Sahabi gave out all that wealth. For he understood that I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is no question to be posed against any command and instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is going to be seemingly a loss to me, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not a loss. It is a means of me progressing in my proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first duty of every believer and every mu'min, to understand his portfolio and his responsibility and his position in life. That I am none but the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there will be no questions asked. So whether it is that now males and females have to be segregated, that I have to lower my gaze and I cannot look at the opposite sex, at the opposite gender, that I cannot engage and initiate any casual speech and conversation with a woman who is now mahram, or I have to stay away from certain foods or from certain kinds of wealth. So immediately a person needs to comply. And then in order to motivate a person, so that a person can continue on this path of compliance, then a person also needs to have his goal and his focus set in place. For if a person does not have an ambition, he does not have a goal, that what am I going to achieve? Why am I complying to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he may continue for a few days or for a few months. But then when there is nothing ahead of him that he is looking forward to achieve, then that stamina, that motivation would also decrease. And a person will go back to his old ways and old habits. So the goal that a person needs to be ambitious of is to gain the everlasting pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the gardens of Jannah. And this again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in the Quran Majeed, that inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this as a bargain and as a deal that He has entered with each one of us as believers. That إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth. And in exchange of what? That we will give our lives and our wealth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in exchange, بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us jannah by us giving Him our lives and our wealth and resources. But this is not like any other business deal in this world. That where you sell off something and now it is gone into the ownership of the buyer and the purchaser. And you cannot receive it, you cannot use it. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to buy it from us. But He is still granting us the permission to utilize our resources, to utilize our lives. So what is meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purchasing our lives and purchasing our wealth? So what is meant is that we would sell it off to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then use it as per the decree and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my life is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I will not spend and utilize my energies, utilize my time, except for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed at my disposal, that wealth, or whatever other resources it may be, I will only spend it to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you jannah. And this again, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had understood this very well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That when speaking of the Sahaba in the Qur'an Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That who were the Sahaba, who were those special companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. That when it came to the disbelievers at the time of war, then they were extremely firm against them. Amongst themselves, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Extremely compassionate and kind to each another. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. And you would find them making ruku, making sajda. But what was driving them behind this? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Always seeking and searching for the grace and the happiness and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the driving force in the life of every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I need to achieve that everlasting pleasure, the everlasting grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would then materialize in the bounties and the favors of Jannah. Again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were just like us, people living in this world. They were not subhuman or inhuman. They were human beings like each one of us. They had wives to take care of, children and dependents to look after. They had businesses to manage. They had their farms and agricultural fields to tend to. But though they lived in this world, but the world was not in their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلِيهِمْ تِجَارًا. That who were the Sahaba? They were true men. That they were men, لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their business acquisitions, their business engagements, never diverted their attention. It never made them oblivious and negligent. عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, the performance and establishment of salah. وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, and the discharging of zakah. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of what was the driving force behind this. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. That it was that continuous understanding, that constant realization that one day I would have to appear and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another life to come. There is the life of the hereafter, the bounties and the favors of Jannah that awaits us. But in order to gain that, there would be that sacrifice and that difficulty that a person would have to experience and undergo in this world. So when the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had understood both of these aspects, They understood their portfolio and position in life. And they also had their goals set in place. Then that is what had made them successful in life. That way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then declared very openly that radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what each one of us needs to understand. And this is the lesson that we all need to take. That we need to firstly understand what is our portfolio and position in life. That we are none but the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People may say what they want to say. But after all, it is our master, our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has the final say. And secondly, we need to set our goals and our ambitions correctly. That our goal and ambition in life should be the acquisition and the attainment of the everlasting pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which would then materialize in the form of the various bounties and favors of Jannah. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses each one of us with a true understanding of our purpose and role in life, and He grants us the tawfiq of setting our ambitions correctly as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.